chapter 19, verses 28 through 40. Actually, I don't care about 28. 29 through 40. As Jesus approached Bethphage and Bethany at the hill called Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples ahead of him, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and you, as you enter, you will find a colt tied there which has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' tell him the Lord needs it." Those who were sent ahead went and found it just as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, "Why are you untying the colt?" They replied, "The Lord needs it." They brought it to Jesus, threw their cloaks on the colt, and Jesus on it. As he went along, people spread their cloaks on the road. When he came near the place where the road goes down from the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began to joyfully praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest." Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." "I tell you," Jesus replied, "if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out." I'm going to ask a question, and this is not meant to be rhetorical, more of a gauge to see where people are. What happened between the cross and the resurrection? What did Jesus do? I'm not even going to ask you how long it was, because that's a great question. It was 36 hours, in case anyone's curious. It wasn't 3 days, it was 36 hours. But what happened in those 36 hours? What did Jesus do from the time he died to the time he was resurrected? Thank you, Jill. That's a really important... Well, I mean, it gets weird. No one else? Nothing else? Okay, but... Thank you, Tom. Okay, so I have to admit, I was expecting you guys all to have an answer because it was the answer that I was taught. And it's weird, but there is this, and when I say it, you might be like, "Oh, yeah." But there are people, and I was taught this, the belief that when Jesus died, he went to hell to battle the devil. Fought the devil, had this epic battle. And after 36 hours, the battle lasted just long enough for him to defeat the devil and leave the devil alive for some reason, and then get back to earth right in time for him to find Mary Sunday morning. It all lined up just perfectly. This battle was just long enough, according to that particular teaching. Not a universal teaching, but it is a pretty common one, especially of a certain age or a certain place, that that's what Jesus did after those days. The descended into hell is interesting. Scripture says he descended into hell, or it says, I'm getting a shaking head from Jim. It does say, I'm going to get to where it kind of says it. Or it says, as he told the man next to him, He went to paradise right away because he promised the men next to him that they were all going to be with him in paradise. Peter, the first letter from Peter says that he died and went and preached to the captives in Sheol. Maybe that's what he says. 1 Peter 3, if you can interpret that scripture perfectly, you're smarter than Martin Luther, because he said it's probably the most obscure and difficult passage to interpret in all of scripture. But our Apostles' Creed says he descended into hell. And Christian tradition has said, not universally, obviously, I'm actually kind of impressed I didn't get this answer, but it has said that he went to hell to battle the devil, to rip the gates off of hell and bring all the souls out. Scripture doesn't tell us that. Scripture doesn't say anything like that. Scripture said he died, and Scripture said Mary found him a day and a half later. But we like battle imagery. We like warrior imagery. We like this idea of victory coming with a sword. Like the zealots in Jesus' time, we like our Messiah to win a battle, to win a war. This imagery even seeps into our worship and our spiritual lives. When somebody has a gift, a fervent prayer, what do we call them? Prayer warrior. Like somehow when we pray, we're doing battle against something. Or for something, either way. Well, when you do battle, it has to be against something. You can't battle against nothing. And if you just pray hard enough, it'll work the way that you're supposed to. And if you just do it good enough, it'll work the way that it's supposed to. And defeat simply means that you weren't quite good enough in this imagery. And we love that imagery. I would go so far as to say we tend to worship that imagery. Was Christ doing battle in Gethsemane as he was praying? As he was praying so fervently that the sweat was dripping off of him like drops of blood. And because his prayer wasn't answered in the way that he asked, because he asked God to take the cup from him. And yet we know what happens at the end of that night and the next day. Did he not pray hard enough? But we like this battle imagery. We like warrior imagery. We like the war. Good versus evil. Clearly drawn side and a battle between the two. We love that imagery. There are two entrances into Jerusalem that we can look at. Two things happen at roughly the same time. Two things happen. Two people walk into Jerusalem. Historical records give us an image of how Pilate came into Jerusalem. And he would have come into Jerusalem every year at the Passover. He was governor over Jerusalem. No way he was going to live in Jerusalem. It was definitely a hostile city to Gentiles. But he was responsible for keeping the peace, especially during these difficult times. And so he paraded into Jerusalem with his chariots and his soldiers, a warrior, a victor, someone who had done battle and was ready to do battle for all, to protect himself and to save the power of Rome. This is the warrior's entrance into Jerusalem. This is the hero's entrance. He went in the front city gate. He made sure that everyone saw him. their polished brass, their swords, their soldiers and chariots. This is the warrior entrance into Jerusalem that day. Bibles, some translations put the triumphal entry into Jesus coming into Jerusalem. But for me, that's not the triumphal entry. Pilate coming into Jerusalem is the triumph. A triumph of power and war and will. To make sure that those pesky Jews did not get out of line. And Jesus walks into Jerusalem as a lamb to slaughter. But we love that warrior imagery, that battle imagery. A war won, a battle fought, heroes and victors. As Jesus comes into Jerusalem, he comes in on a colt, unridden, but still a colt. There was no saddle, there was no comfort. The disciples did take their cloaks off and put over the colt, but that was it. He went through the back gate, the rough path. The people stood and shouted, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord," and their king was entering Jerusalem to die. Other gospels report that they shouted, "Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna, save me." And their saving did not come from the sword, but from a sacrifice. Jesus walked into Jerusalem knowing the only way he would walk out was with his cross on his back on the way to his death. But we love that warrior image. The image of doing battle and winning. As we approach this Holy Week, may we not seek victory. May we not seek to win. May we not pit ourselves against the forces of evil as we see it, but may we look at ourselves and desire the sacrificial life that Christ gave to us. May we not see ourselves as warriors in this great battle, but as people who live sacrificial lives of love for God and for each other. May we not worship battle imagery, but may we worship the Lamb. As we pray fervently, may we not pray hoping that we defeat something. For someone else, maybe. But may we pray for God's presence in our lives, for the Holy Spirit to enter each every one of us, and to make us a loving sacrifice for each other and for God. May our Holy Week see hope not in the sword, but in the Lamb. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.